Welcome to Quick Bites by Mind Over Food. I'm Andy Friedman, and today we're going to talk to Katie Williams and Catherine Rosakis from the 411K. Katie and Catherine met at work in management consulting. They quickly bonded over shared frustration with the lack of financial literacy and systemic barriers professional women face. Despite advising some of the world's largest financial institutions, they did not feel their formal education or training had prepared them to financially adult in their personal lives. They realized when women are afraid to talk about money, it costs us more. So they started the 411K, a community for women by women. By day, Katie works in regulatory compliance while she pursues her MBA. And Catherine is a senior manager at a big four firm while she juggles a husband and two little kids during COVID. So Katie and Catherine, welcome to the Quick Bites Mind Over Food podcast. It's so happy. This is one of the podcasts I've been really excited to record because this is not something I traditionally think of as wellness, but you're so right. Having financial wellness is physical, mental, emotional, social wellness. So why don't you guys kind of talk a little bit about, and Katie, we'll start with you, why this is wellness?
Yeah. So thank you so much for having us. We're so excited to be on the podcast. So like you said, you know, Catherine and I realized that, you know, not a lot of women are talking about money, and we couldn't really figure out why. And I feel like one of the reasons is because people don't think about financial wellness when they think about total wellness. So, you know, you're thinking about how much water you need to drink and how you have to eat healthy and how you need to take care of yourself. But a lot of people don't think about taking care of your finances and being aware of what you're doing in your career and with your money as part of taking care of yourself. And it's really important that we start talking about this stuff because, you know, if you can go and talk to your friends about, you know, oh, you know, aches and pains, or, you know, I'm really like lacking, I need to, you know, go to the gym more or eat better, whatever. You should also be able to say, you know, I'm really stressed about my debt and I'm really struggling with getting this promotion, and being able to have those conversations with the same community that you talk to about all your other wellness needs.
It's so true. Catherine, you concur or you have anything to add there?
Yeah. I mean, and yes, thank you for having us, Andy. I think, yeah, if your financial house isn't in order, there's no way it's not impacting other areas of your life. It will impact what you spend in areas that are or aren't important to you. And we really just try to promote being informed, being educated, and taking that fear and shame out of talking about money so that women can do what we do best, which is lift each other up and not feel ashamed of a topic that does touch so many areas of our life.
Oh my God, it's so true. And, you know, when I think of financial stress, that's, I think, one of the biggest stressors that we face and how that impacts our wellness. Right? And talk a little bit about how when you do talk about money and people do start talking about this, how that's such a relief.
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely speak to the fact that we've had, you know, on our podcast, we talk to women about their money stories all the time. And, you know, the data is out there too, you know, Americans, 60% of Americans are stressed about money all the time. Most divorces have a source of some sort of financial issue. There's a lot of things that money impacts and ends up, you know, showing itself in other ways. I think Eve Rodsky calls it the presenting problem, which it would be, you know, divorce or other things like that, but money might actually be the source of the problem. And you can see it when you hear some of the stories of these women sharing their money stories, where it's like, they're throwing money at, you know, solutions to help them sleep because they're stressed, or they're trying to, you know, find all these memberships and like solutions to all these other problems, when really they're stressed about money and it's showing up in so many different ways.
Catherine?
Yeah, I think you know, Katie and I were talking about all of the connection points, right? And I think COVID has really highlighted this. I can't remember the stat, Katie, but we cite it all the time. So this is something we'll have to look up and get back to you on, Andy. But there's some staggering amount of people who can't cover a $400 emergency in America, and who would have to sell a personal belonging or put it on a credit card. And, you know, we know that a huge proportion of our population does live paycheck to paycheck. And COVID has probably just maybe magnified and brought that to light for some people. But, you know, there's almost like two streams for financial wellness, right? There's the first, like Maslow. I studied psychology, so.
Okay, good. There's some overlap there. Yeah.
The Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And I think, and you know, so there's the Maslow hierarchy of needs, right? Like you need money as a source, at least at a minimum, to make sure you're fed and you're clothed and you have a roof over your head and you just have that basic security and your basic needs met. And then there's, you know, the values-based spending that Katie was mentioning, you know, that we then invest in other areas of our life that bring value to us. But if you don't have the first one, you're not going to have wellness in any area of your life, right? There's no question about that. And even if you do have money and some additional income, if you're not thinking about how you manage it properly, and I'm not saying this in a shamey way, right? But if you're not making sure that your spending aligns with what's important to you, you're going to end up in a position of being overextended in some area, and it will cause stress.
And you're not fulfilling yourself, which goes back to the hierarchy of needs, right? It's that extra level beyond need. It's the fulfillment.
Exactly. So it's kind of two levels. It's not only, you know, first basic needs, you know, do you have money? Do you have enough money? Do you not have money? And then, you know, what you're doing with your money, you might be stressed out that, well, I have enough, but I want to make sure that I have enough going forward. And I want to make sure I have enough for retirement and those sorts of things, because those can be stressful too. Worrying about the future is also, you know, a big feeder into stress. I want to build on something that you said about stigma and shame. Okay, which this is a big overlap with what I do with my clients in terms of eating and their diet and how that sabotages our goals. Catherine, can you talk a little bit about how you see with your, in your community, the people who are sharing their stories, how that plays into it?
You know, I feel like in a lot of the interviews that we've held with various experts and women who have been vulnerable with us and shared their money story, it's that often people don't feel comfortable sharing until they've hit some sort of rock bottom of what's going on financially. We had one guest in particular who was sharing that, you know, she really had run out of options. She had borrowed money from all these places. She had a ton of student loan debt. She had been literally fleeing the country to get away from it and was being contacted by debt collectors, you know, on other continents. And it was only when she really admitted that it was out of control was she able to ask for help. But, and I'm sure you see this, Andy, in your wellness world, you don't have to wait that long, right? You know, I think sometimes we wait until it's unavoidable and it's going to be this really obvious, quote unquote, embarrassing and known thing before we ask for help. And, you know, I would almost say that's like probably, you know, bankruptcy or something really notable, right? Or defaulting on student loans, something you can't hide and that is going to follow you for a long time before you're willing to ask for help. But had individuals been asking for guidance and help and been unafraid to ask their peers for advice along the way, they may have averted some of that crisis.
It's such a good point. It's such an incredibly good point. And it's true. You're exactly right. It's true with food and eating. I think the biggest excuse or thought is, oh, I'll start Monday or I'll do it. You know, let me just do whatever I need to do right now and I will do it Monday or next year or, you know, first of the year, whatever. It's just so crucial to ask for help when you need it before it gets out of hand. So I know that one of the things that you like to counsel, or counsel maybe is the wrong word, to talk about with the people in your community is values-based spending. Can you talk a little bit about that? Katie, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so something that I think resonates in pretty much every episode of our podcast is that we need to align our money with our values. So obviously everyone is going to have different values and everyone's financial situation is going to be totally different. But that's why you need to do some reflection, especially after you get to that point where, you know, if you've hit rock bottom, you need to figure out what is it that you actually care about and what is it that you want to be working towards. I'm sure you work a lot with your clients on goals, and that yes. is really important. So once you figure out what your goals are and where your values are, you need to be aligning your spending to that. So you don't want to be just like keeping up with the Joneses and spending money where you think you need to be spending money to, you know, appease your friends or look a certain way. You need to be spending money where it matters to you. And I think that is really just something that we need to be doing in all different, you know, wellness areas of our life, whether it's money, whether it's food, whatever the goal is, that's what you need to be putting your energy towards.
You're absolutely right. Goals are important because you can't just, and I love how you said keeping up with the Joneses, because that's true for, you know, I think what you're talking about is acceptance, right? That if you're constantly thinking, well, I want to be like them, so I need to make a certain amount of money, or I need to just to spend it on whatever clothes, then it's not really what's realistic for you and what you want to do with it. Catherine?
Yeah, it doesn't serve you trying to live someone else's life.
Exactly.
There's, you know, your journey is your journey. I mean, Katie right. and I say it all the time, personal right. finance is personal, right? Your personal journey is your personal journey. I do think when you think long and hard about what those financial goals are and what's important to you, it becomes very easy to cut out the noise and to ignore the both obvious and subliminal messaging that gets sent to us from our peer group. And I say this now as a
and on social
mom.
Media, right? And,
yeah. You know, I'm a suburban mom. I've got two small kids. I've got, you know, the house and the car. You wouldn't know how much my husband and I earn based on the house we live in and the car we drive. And that's because we're saving, you know, we're squirreling away for retirement. We want to have right. flexibility. We want to maybe have a beach house someday, right? Like, these are the things that are important to us. So, you know, people will come over our house and our kitchen's dated, you know, it works. There's running water coming out of the faucet. The stove cooks food and there's a fridge full of healthy, delicious food that we make every day. So I'm very satisfied with that. But there are other people who I know can't cook unless they have like a marble countertop and stainless steel appliances. And that's fine. Like, that's where you want to put your money, go for it.
Exactly.
But I think if I wasn't clear on what our goals were, that would be really threatening to me, because people are actually quite bold. They will come over and say, so when are you going to do your kitchen over? And I'm like, oh, are you writing me a check?
That's one great. Just put it right back on the pressure, right?
Yeah,
exactly. I was going to say, one of our favorite questions that we ask like everyone on our podcast is, what is something you splurge on and what is something you save, skimp on? Because it really does show like where you put your money is where you value that thing. And where you skimp on is where you're like, yeah, I'm going to skimp on my kitchen and I'm going to skimp on my car, but wait till you see what my retirement's going to look like.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think I'm the exact same way. And for me, it's like, exactly. Everything's dated. Things are kind of shabby here. But I like to be put together. So I like to spend a little bit of money on clothes. Mm-hmm. So it's true. Yeah. You know, and look professional and everything. And of course, you know, my listeners can't see me, but I got this curly hair and it takes a lot of money to get it to look like this. And it's not even that good.
But I love it. It's like a perfect curl. It's not,
you just got a good day because anyways. So, you know, that's just really, really great advice. And I'm so glad that my listeners are hearing about this, because it's so true. on so many levels. And I'm so happy that I can kind of join the chorus here that financial wellness is wellness and you need to think about it. You need to have goals. You need to have acceptance. You need to ask questions. You need to stop the, we need to stop the stigma, right? And especially as women, right? Because I think men feel more comfortable talking about this stuff, right?
Well, they do. And we have more to overcome with the pay gap, the pink tax, the investing gap. Like you can go on. And financial literacy is a problem for everybody. I think I looked at 60% or 66% of millennials are financially illiterate. And so it is across both genders, but women just have more to overcome.
It's so, so, so true. So, you know, this is fantastic. So I know you guys have this amazing podcast, fantastic podcast. Where can people go to learn more about the 411k and also listen to your really cool podcast?
Our podcast is available on everywhere that you listen to podcasts. So Apple's Spotify, Amazon, everything. It's also on our website, the411k.com. And you can follow us on social media and Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook.
All right. That's fantastic. And I'm going to put all that in the description so people can just link right on through. But I highly encourage all my listeners to listen to the 411k because it's so great. Obviously, because these ladies are so wonderful. Yay. So I want to thank you, Katie and Catherine, for joining me today. This was more than enlightening. And I hope to talk to you again in the near future.
Thank you so much for having us, Andy.
My pleasure. I hope you enjoyed this podcast with special guests, Katie Williams and Catherine Rozakis from the 411K. Please visit my webpage at mindoverfood.com if you'd like to listen to more of these Quick Bite podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about Mind Over Food or are interested in one of my free 15-minute consultations, please visit my website or email me at andy@mindoverfood.com. You can also contact me on Facebook at facebook.com/mindoverfoodtraining. And I'm also on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Thanks for listening to Quick Bites by Mind Over Food. I'm Andy Friedman. Keep an ear out for more Quick Bites coming soon.